Order the Tuesday, June 2nd, 2026, meeting of the City of Port Washington Common Council. If you'd all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And just a quick comment, the mayor is out of town and excused. Otherwise, and I will be presiding and voting tonight. With that, we'll move into public comments and appearances. Individuals wishing to speak during public comments will be limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker. The Common Council is at its discretion may limit the total time for public comments to a maximum of 30 minutes for each public comment period. We have public comments. And name and address, please.
Ed, could you please sign the clipboard as well? Thank you.
Done. Tracy Finch, Port Washington, Wisconsin. Members of the council and the mayor, when he listens to this recording, I am here because our community is being treated as expendable, and I refuse to let that go unchallenged. Vantage plans to run its diesel-fired emergency generators 45 days every year, four at a time, blasting toxic exhaust into the same air our children, seniors, families breathe. They keep repeating, it's only an hour. But that's not how the human body works. Pollution hits in violent spikes, and those spikes land on real people with real lungs, medical conditions, and vulnerabilities. These emissions aren't abstract. They worsen asthma, they trigger heart problems, they inflame respiratory illness, they settle into lungs of kids at Thomas Jefferson Middle School, they drift into the homes of newborns, they hit the bodies of people already fighting to stay healthy. And all of this is avoidable. Other cities have demanded cleaner systems, battery storage, natural gas turbines, fuel cells, hybrid microgrids. These technologies exist right now. Vantage could choose them tomorrow. The only reason they haven't is because no one in leadership has required it. I am asking you, the majority of you, directly to step up into leadership vacuum. If the mayor won't stand up, or stand here and defend the health of this community, then you must. You have the authority to insist on cleaner alternatives. You have the responsibility to protect the people who elected you. And you have the chance tonight to show that Port Washington's health is worth more than a corporation convenience. Port Washington is not disposable. Our health is not negotiable. Our families are not collateral damage. And the cost of doing nothing will be measured in the lungs of people you swore to protect, a cost we cannot afford.
Thank you. Other public comments, appearances? Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda.
Move to approve.
And looking for all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. So, Mayor's business, we have two appointments, which is different than what we were previously sent. We have, for Board of Public Works, we have Cam Pauley being reappointed to the Board of Public Works. And then for Park and Recreation, we have Patrick Tierney being appointed as a new member of the community as instead of as an alder as he was in the past. So looking
for... I'll make a motion to approve those appointments.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. All right. Mayor's updates, I don't have anything at this point. So we'll move on. Gerald and Dennis, you're up for the Harbor Commission Charter presentation.
Good evening. Gerald Gruen from the Port Washington Harbor Commission to present the 2026 charter. Before getting into that, there's some background that you may or may not know about, but I found some of it kind of interesting. The Harbor Commission was established in with the Wisconsin Statute 30.37 and 38, and the municipal chapters 8 to 19. And the next sentence that I'm going to read kind of sums up everything we do. The Board of Harbor Commissioners shall make such plans as it deems necessary for the improvement of the harbor over which it has jurisdiction. The board shall not carry out any such plans until approved by the Common Council. The Board of Harbor Commissioners shall have exclusive control over the commercial aspects of the day-to-day operations of the harbor and its facilities. The board shall fix fees and charges for the use of the harbor facilities, except such fees shall be subject to the approval by the council. So, in effect, we're an advisory organization. Our mission is to provide oversight for the marina operation by developing policies and plans that guide the vision and provide fiduciary support. The Harbor Commission is scheduled to meet on the fourth Monday of each month at 7 o'clock here. The Harbor Commission was created by a resolution of the Common Council, and as such, it's held that there will be seven members. Appointments to the Harbor Commission shall be made by the mayor, subject to confirmation by a majority vote of all of the Common Council. No person shall be appointed unless they are a qualified elector of the city and have been a resident of the city for at least 3 years. The term of each of the members is 3 years. The mayor makes the appointments, and they are approved by the council. And the harbor master serves as staff liaison to the Board of Harbor Commissioners. Now, the strategic goals that we have this year. And some of these we've been working on before. Establish a harbor security plan with Ozaukee County Emergency Management and the Police Department and the Fire Department. Design marina's north building improvements. Maintain our elite fleet status through marinas.com based on customer reviews. Upgrade the marina software to include a complete point of sale system in the marina office and the fuel pier. Install permeable pavers to the south of the fish cleaning station, working with the DNR and other agencies. And then try to work with the tourism people in town to maintain our Commercial Ports Association status. Finally, we send a customer satisfaction survey to marina tenants. The operational responsibilities are as follows. The harbor master creates the operational budget and capital budget, prepares monthly reports. Harbor master also is responsible for asset management, including marina equipment, control building, north building, main marina and north slip docks, fuel equipment, and fish cleaning station. Harbor master interviews and recommends employees for hire to the Harbor Commission. There's some issues we run into, such as supply chain issues, labor shortages, economic downturns, and securing grants to fund projects. We can counter that somewhat to closely monitor our inventory. We have increased, I guess you have increased, the starting wage to $16 an hour to get suitable applicants so that the marina will continue to run as a world-class operation. We want to have competitive rates to ensure customers return year after year. We want to give customers a reason to come to Port Washington, and again, partnering with local businesses and events. We work with the DNR and other organizations to aid in securing grants for upcoming projects. We measure our success by rankings, some reviews, and the maintaining of the clean marina designation that we've had for how many years, Dennis?
It's going to be 15 years at the end of this cycle.
And weren't we the first one?
And we were the first ones in the state of Wisconsin.
We want to make sure that we handle customers' complaints or concerns immediately, stay within or below budget on capital and operational items, and adjust a 10-year capital plan on a yearly basis. And there's just a couple more notes here. The Harbor Commission agendas and packets are available on the city website. Annual reports are posted on the marina webpage, and departmental reports are submitted monthly to the DPW and Common Council. Do you have anything you wanted to add?
No.
That's all I have. Anybody have any questions?
Thank you, Gerald. Any questions for the...
Really quick. The North Building, what exactly was delayed until 2027, the design or the improvements themselves?
I believe we don't have the design yet. We get pushed. We wanted to start it next year, but it's been pushed on now to working with Rob to figure this thing out.
It was about financing, wasn't it?
Well, it's money. It's financing. We don't have bids. We don't have design yet.
They keep pushing it.
Push stuff.
Yeah.
Mark will kick it off for you. Okay. Well, thank you, guys. Nice
thank
job
you.
Down there.
Thank you.
Thanks.
President Benny?
Yep, sorry.
I have a question for him. Sir?
Yes.
This is an enterprise, correct, in our financial budget, meaning that it's not taxpayer funded, that this...
That's correct.
Service or amenity that we have for the city is self-supporting.
Yes.
And does the city provide any support at all other than assistance and maybe hiring people and things like that? But financially, it's what comes in is what you get to spend. Is that true?
And actually, the city gets $50,000 a year in lieu of taxes.
So this, okay. And then totally off base, we're renting a slip this time for the first time this year. Is there a bike rack near the harbor?
A bike rack?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. At where? Because the staff did not seem to know where that was.
It's at where the North Building is.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You enter the...
Has that fish on it?
Yeah, it looks like a fish. It's a circle.
Thank you, sir.
You probably wouldn't recognize it as a bike stand.
That may be why. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay, sorry about that. All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Move on to the 2025 city audit presentation. Is that you, Mark?
Alan, thank you for having me here again this evening. Brian Grunewald with Clifton Larson Allen. And before I get started, I do want to thank Mark and your team for the cooperation and assistance that we received throughout the audit process. We ask for a lot of information. Mark is very detailed. We certainly appreciate that and all the cooperation. He's very responsive throughout the process. And from my perspective, it goes very, very smoothly. And in terms of the audit documents, for tonight's discussion, you should have the audited financial statements as well as a governance communication letter. But for purposes of tonight's discussion, I'm just going to go through a PowerPoint. It's very brief and high level. But if anyone has any questions about the audit process or the audit documents themselves, certainly please feel free to ask. Yeah, here we go. In terms of the discussion tonight, just a brief agenda in terms of what I'd like to walk through. I'm going to give you a very high-level overview of the audit reports. There's actually two of them that are included within your audited financial statements, and then also some required communications. I have very brief comments in terms of financial highlights, and then the reference to industry insights and emerging issues is really some regulatory standards that are going to be applicable for future engagements. This first slide here just gives you a summary and overview of the two different reports that are included within your financial statements. The auditor's report on the basic financial statements begins on page one. It is considered to be an unmodified opinion. Essentially means that I believe that your financial statements are complete and accurate and in accordance with professional standards. That's exactly what you should hope or expect to see as part of the audit process. And then there's also a report on internal control. Again, the city is responsible for how things are done on a daily, monthly, annual basis. They're responsible for things like how you handle cash, how you process payroll, how you pay your bills. All that's considered as part of that internal control environment and control structure. We don't issue an opinion on that, but when we become aware of conditions, which we refer to as findings, we are required to communicate those. So you have seen this reference to segregation of duties. In the past, I would say very common for organizations of your size. You just need to understand that because of the size of the finance department and staffing, we do have a comment relative to how duties are segregated in terms of accounting and processing. Again, repeat comment, very common for organizations of your size. I also do want to point out or highlight that in the past, we have had additional findings. There was one last year for 2024. That related to proposed adjustments that we made as part of the audit process. Happy to communicate that those have been resolved and no further findings related to that. Any thoughts or comment on that slide before I move forward? Okay. This next slide here, included within the governance communications, there's a multi-page letter. It includes information that we're required to communicate as part of the audit process. It's very standardized accounting language. The topics that are included in there are very similar to what you've seen in the past. I just wanted to take a moment to point that out again, because it is information that we're required to communicate. From my perspective, certainly nothing that I would consider to be unusual. No red flags are included in there. And the slide here gives you a few references to some of the topics that are discussed in there. Again, things like accounting policies, significant transactions, estimates. We always talk about estimates as part of the audit process. So standard communication, again, no red flags or no issues or concerns there. Then I just wanted to jump ahead and financially, I always like to take a look at your fund balance. That's really the most common metric for judging a municipality's financial condition. So I have a few slides here relative to fund balance. This first one is just focusing on your general fund and focusing on the history of what your balances have been. At the end of 2025, you ended the year at just under $3.7 million of fund balance reserves. That's the sum of the two different categories that you see on the slide here. Very comparable to how you ended the year 2024. The sum of all of your expenses exceeded all of your revenues by $2,896, so just a slight decrease in your overall reserves. And then you can see the reference to that. Okay, we'll jump ahead. This next slide focuses in that unassigned category, which is where most of your dollars were held. And from a benchmarking perspective, we always like to compare the amount of unassigned fund balance reserves that you have in comparison to the actual expenditures that are flowing through your budget, again, for benchmarking purposes. The city does have a policy that's referenced there with the red line, like to be a minimum of 20%. That blue line shows your actual experience. You can see you ended 2025 at 29.2%. The last several years being in a similar range there. The message being is you're above your policy, above your minimum policy. And certainly I would consider that to be strong in terms of your overall fund balance reserves and condition. And obviously I know a lot of effort goes into the budget process. Obviously encourage those activities and initiatives to continue. Then this next slide here, just giving you a snapshot of your special revenue funds. And again, this just presents the balance that you have left in those reserves at the end of the year, and comparing back to the prior year at the end of 2024. You can see the different funds listed down the slide. Just referencing the total, you ended the year at just over $2 million in those funds, up from $1.9 million for the previous year. Again, just really wanted to give you a snapshot of the balances left at the end of the year in those funds. And then if we jump ahead, this next slide, just similar information, gives you a snapshot of your balances in both the debt service fund as well as your capital projects funds. Do want to point out, when you look at the debt service fund, you do note the increase in that balance at the end of the year for 2025, really due to some police and fire impact fees and additional revenues coming in. And do want to remind you that those balances are restricted for future principal and interest payments. And then if we move into the capital projects fund section, the first category there, the capital and special projects, always important to consider timing when you're thinking of capital projects funds. Think of the process of going through and doing things like issuing debt, for example. When is that debt and that debt proceeds received versus the timing of when you spend down those funds? During 2025, you did issue $31.8 million of general obligation debt for the public safety building. And the reason that you have the $17 million at the end of the year is just because of the spend down and the unspent debt proceeds that you had received. And then also giving you a snapshot of the tax incremental districts. Just want to point out that numbers in brackets, those are deficits. So you can see that for 2024 and TID number three. And then TID five, just pointing out, emphasizing that the dash there is really a zero. So just wanted to point that out. So that's a very quick overview of your fund balance and your financial condition. There is more information, more detailed information included in your governance communication letter. Obviously, the financial statements also have a lot of detailed information. If you have any questions on any of that, either now or at a future date, I'd be happy to come back and answer any questions. And then I just have a few slides here. The reference to GASB is Governmental Accounting Standards Board. Because you are a municipality, you are required to follow those standards. So just wanted to share some information with regards to upcoming standards that we'll be working through for the city. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on these. The message that I want to leave you with is there's a few different standards. We will work with the city to make sure that they're properly implemented when they are required to be implemented. And on each one of the slides here, I listed the effective date in a real high-level overview of what the statement represents or what we need to do. There's more information on our website if anyone cares to dig into more details on that. This first one here deals with financial reporting. The primary impact for the city is there's going to be a couple changes in terms of the presentation of your proprietary or enterprise funds and some additional information included in some of the budgetary comparisons in the future that will be implemented for 2026. We go to the next slide. Again, this one, GASB statement number 104, deals with capital assets. Again, really just additional information that we're going to be required to include within your financial statement footnotes. Again, also required to be implemented for the 2026 audit. The primary impact here really relates to the subscription assets and how we present information for those. And then this last one deals with subsequent events. By subsequent events, we always consider activities that occur after the end of the audit period. So think of that as January 1 after the audit up until the time of when we actually issue that audit. We're required to consider those activities. There is a new standard that provides a little bit more clarification on that. This one is not required to be implemented until 2027. Again, could result in some additional footnote disclosures within your financial statements. And that is all I had prepared for you. But if you have any other questions about either the audit process or any of the audit documents, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are those GASB standards substantial, Brian, in your opinion, or not really?
So as I've said in past years, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board has certainly been very active, which is why we continue to see new standards out here. I will say in terms of the level of time and time commitment, the most significant one is going to be that GASB 103 with financial reporting. Because of the number of clients that we deal with, we work with templates and we have some, we can leverage some of that to gain some efficiency on that. So not extremely time consuming compared to some of the other ones that we've dealt with in prior years. 104 and 105, I do not anticipate being a significant impact on the overall audit time.
The capital assets though, that's all the capital assets within the city or?
Exactly. Yep. We have separate footnotes for like water and sewer, for example, versus the governmental activities for the city. But yeah, it will encompass everything.
One small question, you may or may not be able to answer this.
Yeah.
So our TIF 5 is set up in a non-traditional way where we'll be paying as money comes in. So how is that going to appear? Or how will that be accounted differently? Or will it be accounted differently? What should we be looking for?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I will say this, throughout the clients that we work with, we do see a lot of unusual or negotiated terms as part of tax incremental districts. We always review the project plan, which is the guiding document of the starting point for the arrangement. We also look at significant developer agreements and whatnot. So we have reviewed those. Mark and I have had multiple discussions on how things are gonna be done and the accounting treatment and whatnot. So again, as part of that process, we take a lot of pride and diligence in making sure that when we come in and see the final accounting, that it's consistent with your agreement. So we've done that. We've done some testing on that in terms of testing individual expenses and reimbursements, and really tried to just step back and understand the plan itself. So.
Any other questions, Deb?
This question is for Mark. With the new requirements on the horizon, will this require you to have any adjustments or programming changes to BSNA, or are we good?
No, these are, I believe, much more financial reporting issues and shouldn't really impact our operations.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Mark.
Sounds good.
I know it's a lot of detail, and I appreciate you digging through it. So.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you very much. And like I said, if anyone has any future questions, please reach out.
We'll move on to city administrator update.
I just have two things. One, we are going to be down a building inspector in July. So if anyone knows anyone, we are hiring. Tell your friends. It's a hard market. And then the other one is we have some new staff. So you'll see new staff around the city, seasonals. They really make it a great place in the summer to keep things flowing, especially like with the harbor and the pool. If you do need pool passes, I will recommend you do those online. We're going to be down two staff here at the city hall the next 2 weeks, and it'll be a faster process if you go online. And I think that is all I have.
Thank you. Any questions? All right, we'll move on to consideration and possible action for approval of the updated paramedic intercept agreement with Blood Products Appendix. And the issue is, should the city approve the updated paramedic intercept agreement with Blood Products Appendix? And staff recommends approval of the updated paramedic intercept agreement with Blood Products Appendix. Mark.
Thank you. Yes, this item was brought to the General Government and Finance Committee earlier today. It is a small modification to the agreement that was approved, I think about in January. So we thought that with the addition of the appendix, it merited another process review by General Government and Finance and subject to approval by the Council. If you have any specific questions about the agreement, Joe is here to take them.
Any questions for Mark or Joe?
I'll make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Second. Okay, motion and second. Any discussion on the motion? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you. All right. Now we'll move on to Resolution 2026-07, approval of a bicycle and pedestrian plan. The issue is, should the Common Council approve Resolution 2026-07, approval of bicycle and pedestrian plan? And staff recommends approval of the Resolution 2026-07. Rob.
All right, so it's my pleasure to quickly go through our bicycle and pedestrian plan. This has been something staff and our steering committee and the community as a whole have been working on for nearly 2 years with Tool Design, whom the city hired to complete this project after the city received a Wisconsin Department of Transportation grant to complete this work. So I'll quickly go through our agenda, which is project purpose, vision and goals, public engagement, plan recommendations, next step, and plan adoption, which is what we're doing tonight. Okay, so real quickly again, the project purpose, real kind of, you know, to the point, we want to replace our 1996 bike ped plan that was severely outdated, and so it was good to take a fresh look at what the city is doing in the areas of walking, biking, and rolling. It provides us guidance during project design, so we already have a complete streets policy, but this is a little more detailed so that, you know, we were getting bogged down in some of our design projects on, you know, sidewalk locations, things like that. And so we wanted to have kind of a vision forward for what walking and biking would look like in the future. So we'll implement, we'll use this plan as guidance as we take on new projects. This will help us support grant opportunities. An example of that is the grant application that was approved at last month for the Interurban Trail. And as I just alluded to, this aligns with other planning documents, such as the downtown plan, our complete streets resolution, our comprehensive outdoor recreation plan, and our subdivision code. And the bottom line, which I put at the bottom here, is that, you know, as far as purpose goes, you know, I feel strongly that no one should ever, and no one in the city should ever feel like the only way to get from point A to point B anywhere in the city is by car. So anyone who wants to walk or bike anywhere in the city, they should feel like that is an option for them. Okay, so public engagement. I think this is one of the best public engagement endeavors we've taken on. We didn't have a public information meeting at City Hall. We went out to the people where they were. So we were out at Upper Lake Park at the Beer Garden. We went to the library at the schools. We went down to the farmers market, and so we placed a yard sign scattered throughout the city, asking for people to go online and provide us with feedback on where they felt you know that we might have either gaps in our bike and pedestrian network, or where they didn't feel safe, and so that gave them an opportunity to provide that feedback. And we received feedback from I think 350 people, and so I thought that was, you know, excellent. Relatively a lot more input than we get for other projects. So the vision, so our steering committee came up with a vision statement, said that Port Washington is a place where residents and visitors of all ages, abilities, and backgrounds choose to walk, bike, or roll because it's safe, convenient, accessible, and enjoyable. And our goals, and we listed these when I submitted the grant application, safety, of course, as goal number one. Two, obviously, walking and biking improves our health has a zero carbon footprint on our environment. So good for ourselves, good for the earth. Network connectivity, again, we want to be able to, anywhere a person wants to go in the city of Port Washington, they should feel that they're connected to it. So we don't want gaps in sidewalks. We don't want streets that you can't cross. So that has all been done, certainly my time here, very intentionally. So when we look at a highway, for instance, Highway 33 would be a great example. When we set out on that back in the early 2000s, I wanted to make sure that so often you find in a community that the highway that goes through the community, and there's always a local highway going through a community, sometimes that serves as a real barrier between north side and south side, east side and west side. Didn't want that, so we created Highway 33. It looks the way it looks. It has the roundabout, you know, for a reason. That was otherwise going to be a six-lane intersection. And so we were able to really stress, again, connectivity around the city. And I'm happy to say I think that anyone can get anywhere in the city that they want to. So a mode shift from car to bike or walking, again, we want people to have that option. We don't want them to have to get in a car because that's the only way to get from point A to point B. Economic development, obviously, a number of people in our survey said, you know, they want to feel, they want better connections to downtown. And you know, I know several people who it is real important that they walk or bike to work. One person who works here, as a matter of fact. And so, you know, that's really important to some people. And so this benefits economic development and equitable and accessible. And so, for instance, a huge driver for me for when we reconstructed Franklin Street in 2008, and when we eventually reconstruct Grand Avenue, is making sure that it's handicap accessible. So downtown, we used to have 7% cross slopes on the sidewalks. If you were in a wheelchair or had any mobility issues, that was a real challenge for people. We've flattened out those sidewalks, and hopefully people have noticed. But we do still have some sidewalk areas in the city where the cross slope is not meet ADA requirements. And so, again, taking a look at these things, making them a priority is one of our goals. All right, and then kind of jumping ahead, so we have, so we took inventory of our sidewalks, our bike network, and our crosswalks, and essentially the places where people want to go. So the libraries, I'm sorry, well, the library, the schools, and the parks, that's on the right-hand side. Sidewalks and bike networks. So in red, I know this is a tiny map, but in red you can see the areas where we don't have sidewalk on both sides of the street here, and then it's noted down here where it's only on one side of the street. And then around the entire city, you know, we've identified gaps. So anytime we have a road reconstruction, we look at where are there gaps, where is there lack of connectivity, and so we often propose improvements to the pedestrian network when we reconstruct a street. Bicycle network, it's pretty comprehensive. There's different tools, and there's a toolbox in the plan. I know you've all looked at it, but different methods of creating more connectivity by on street biking. So including a bike boulevard or a restricted lane. So different tools to identify safe biking paths that will get you either to the schools again or the interurban trail, et cetera. And I do want to mention, and again, I know this is really small, but I know when we talked about the underpass for the railroad off of Spring Street and eliminating that crossing on Oakland Avenue, that there wasn't a great awareness that is something we had been looking at for a number of years. There are a couple other areas, and one that I'm sure you know well is one area of improvement that we'd like to see is to get this walking and biking area in Upper Lake Park off street. It's great for adults who are able to utilize it, but not as great for kids who are trying to walk to the playground to have to walk inside that 4 or 5 foot wide pedestrian area. And then we have, you know, a number of people, especially in the Lake Ridge subdivision, if they want to walk to high school or the middle school, the only safe way is to go all the way down Spring Street, over to Grand Avenue, and then back up the hill. So we're looking for a connection here along Moore Road. That's something that's kind of been, that's one of our long-term goals, to get that connection improved. So just a few of the highlights. Near-term network, so we have, you know, short-term goals, medium-term goals, long-term goals. So this just kind of hits on some of the near-term accomplishments. We are low-hanging fruit that we think we can reach relatively quickly with these bike boulevards and restricted lanes. And then, as I just mentioned, so we've broken it down into short-term, medium-term, and long-term. And again, I know on the right-hand side, it's not really intended to be legible, but I'll read it anyway, because these are three of the more important goals. For short term is one, regularly report on the progress of the port moves to standing committees and groups. And so I want to get in the habit of that with Board of Public Works to highlight how in every project we do that we're going to integrate what we have in this plan into our projects. And we do it on a regular basis, but we don't really highlight it. So we'll be doing that on a quarterly, it's our intention to do that on a quarterly basis. We'll include items here in the on our 10-year CIP, and then the third here is hosting pedestrian or bicycle encouragement events. So that's really mostly working with Main Street, working with the school district and the police department to kind of encourage that walking and biking. So, oops, last slide. And I just wanted to say that the steps we've taken so far, we took this to Board of Public Works, which was approved it unanimously on May 12th, and then on May 27th, so just last week, it was approved by the Traffic Safety Committee. We'd like to adopt the plan by passing the resolution tonight. And then get going on, again, CIP programming, grant funding, and regular reporting on progress to BPW. So, and as I mentioned in the memo, anything that's included in this plan still goes through the regular process of committee budgeting and those approvals. So this, again, just provides guidance and informs our decision-making and is just another tool in our toolbox to essentially improve active modes of transportation. And that's it.
Questions for Rob?
No, I'm good. Actually, I was, since Alderwoman Miller brought it up, do we have an inventory of the bike racks in town in public spaces? Is that something that we would do or have?
Inventory?
No, information, I don't. I guess, Rob, information on where our bike racks are in town?
No, I just have it all up here.
Yeah.
We don't. I mean, that's something.
No, just curious.
Certainly something that could be done.
I had already emailed Rob about this and got some good feedback from him as well. But
from who?
From you.
Oh, okay.
About providing a yearly report to this body as well, just in case, so we can know about this ongoing progress. I think that was the key distinction that I thought of when I was reading this, is that it's different from the downtown plan, in that the downtown plan is a bit more aspirational, longer visioning. I mean, I think Mr. Harris would agree with that, a bit more visionary. This is a bit more tangible and concrete, that these are things that we would actively look to implement over the coming years and decades. So I think I want that to be clear to this body, is that these are ideas that are tangible and concrete that we would want to accomplish. So yearly reports and, of course, quarterly reports to the BPW would be appreciated. So thanks, Rob. It's a very good document.
Thank you.
And then all I had, Rob, I think it's great that we reviewed it at Traffic Safety last week, and I'd like to see some of those short and long-term goals, and from a traffic safety perspective, we need to do them. Some of them are not as significant, some are more significant. But
for those of us with day jobs, could you guys provide a synopsis of what traffic safety talked about in regards to the bike head plan?
It was more of, we're going to look at our charter and the goals for the charter in alignment with some of the items in there, type of thing. So any other comments or questions? If not, I'll look for a motion on that.
I move to approve resolution 2026-7.
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And we'll move into our second public comment appearances session. Anybody have public comments? And again, if you could share your name and address.
Finch, Port Washington, Wisconsin. Members of the council, and for the mayor when he listens to this recording, I'm also here because the people of Port Washington are being asked to tolerate risks that no responsible city should have ever allowed. First, let me be absolutely clear. There must never be any living quarters, temporary housing, or worker suburbs on or belonging to Vantage property. Not now, not later, not under any future phase. The trailers on site may be labeled as offices, but the residents have seen what they look like. If they are truly not housing, then the city and Vantage should have no problem proving that in writing, with inspection, with enforceable restrictions. Because once temporary housing appears, it becomes nearly impossible to remove. And our communities deserve certainty, not loopholes. But this issue goes far beyond trailers. Everyday residents are dealing with noises, stress, uncertainty, and the constant disruption of this project. People are overwhelmed, people are anxious, are reaching their limits. This is not hypothetical, it's happening right now in our neighborhood, in our homes, our families. And the message residents keep hearing is that if they need help, they should pay for it themselves. That's not acceptable. This anxiety did not appear out of nowhere. It's a direct result of the decisions made by City Mayor Theodore Nitzke IV, Town Chairman Michael Didier, and this administration and the majority of this council. Decisions that gave Vantage enormous freedom, minimal transparency. When a city's actions create community-wide stress, the city has a responsibility to provide support. So tonight, I'm asking you, because the mayor's not here to answer for any of this, what steps will you take to ensure no temporary housing ever appears on Vantage property? What steps will you take to provide mental health support to residents who are struggling? And how will you guarantee that no one in this community is left to carry this burden alone? Port Washington deserves leadership, and tonight that responsibility falls on you.
Thank you. Other public comments? Seeing none, look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. We're adjourned.
Top notch.